Hey, this is Megan Rapinoe, and I'm Sue Bird. We've decided to turn our crazy IG live show into a podcast for your listening pleasure. Enjoy the show. A Touch More.
New episodes of A Touch More drop Tuesday only on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
Hey, what's going on? It's Larry Hughes. Hey, if you get a minute, check out that Airbuds podcast. They talk good sports. Check him out.
Yo, John Spider Sally here, and I want to give an unbelievable greeting to one of my favorite shows of all time, Airbuds. I just want to say you guys are fabulous, and I want to give you a shout out. I know it's hard during quarantine, but you guys are holding it together. And remember, we're all bad boys for life. All right, Airbuds, John Sally.
Peace. Hello and welcome to the Airbuds podcast. It's spooky now. What's good? I'm Jamel.
I'm Vampire Peter.
I'm Bennerstein. You said it more like, what is it, John Pardo, the SNL?
Yeah, I definitely thought we were round ball rocking it there for a second.
No, I was trying to, okay, I felt it in the middle, and that's why I said spooky.
Shout out to Don Pardo. Sorry I disrespected your legacy and spirit by calling you John Pardo.
Super rude. There is no John Pardo. There's a Jimmy Pardo. John Pardo's in jail for racketeering.
Probably. Sorry if you can hear my dog scampering about. There's another dog outside causing her to go crazy. But guys, happy basketball.
God. Happy motherfucking basketball,
wow.
Dudes.
The basketball and it's happy? That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot going on. We've got the Last Dance coming up this weekend ending. We've got some G League news, which we'll get into.
Ooh.
But guys, before we get into that, we got some new reviews.
Really?
Yeah, as always, if you go to Apple Podcasts and you give us a 5-star review and write something, we'll read whatever you say. Guys, let's just jump right into it. I feel like people just know exactly what my insecurities are about this podcast, and I've been voicing them weekly, and now they're just playing right into it. The first one, headline, Jamel's Great, 5 stars, by Kenneth Bernstein. Content's good. Other two guys kind of seem like they don't want to be judged the whole time. Solid pod, though. Love Jamel. White guys are okay, generally speaking. These ones, specifically, are less than okay. Not bad, but less than okay.
Hey.
That Jamel, though, he's better than good. It all evens out. White guys,
no.
2 stars. Jamel, 8 stars. That's, 5 overall.
That's not... Hold on. First off, the math is way off. It should be 10 stars overall. Second off, I don't know what you guys... What do you guys want these white guys to do? They've been white their whole lives. They don't know how else to be.
Yeah.
In my defense,
yeah,
I have also
Bernstein,
been Jewish. Okay?
Yeah, your name is Kevin Bernstein.
Yeah.
Yeah. Member of the tribe. Come on now. Listen, again, I feel like I'm a broken record here, Mike. But again, I am just happy to be involved. So I feel like anything like that is house money, good or bad, frankly.
You know, we got Kenton's 5 stars. We got his money. So, yeah, let's keep going.
Did he give us money? Okay.
He didn't give us money. He just gave us 5 stars,
which
is, you know, podcast money.
First off,
also, if we each got 2 stars, Jamel would have to get 11 stars for us to average out to 5 stars.
I'm not. Okay. I see what you're doing. You're doing real, real math. You're doing real boy math. I didn't take real boy math. Okay. I took Algebra 2 a couple times, so I'm going to let you do that on your own.
I'm with you, Jamel. I never really got to the smart kid math. I just kept failing the dumb kid math.
Yeah, I opted out. The year I was supposed to take smart kid math, I took computer math. It was called computer math.
Yeah, they looked at me and were like, you're not doing chemistry. You're doing earth sciences.
Hell
and then
yeah.
I learned about whales for 3 years in high school.
Just where they are?
Yeah.
Hey, this is where they be at. Yeah.
I need more North Macedonian basketball. 5 stars by LNNOH8R. Oh, LNNO hater. I don't know what LNNO means. Great podcast. It gives you the basketball news the MSM tries to bury. Oh boy. What do y'all think of the theory that Jordan's dad was murdered because of MJ's gambling? Well, they just talked about
it. Well, thanks for breaking the story, Holmes.
Yeah. Am I the only one that's heard that one? No. Also, I just want to acknowledge the workers around the world that made MJ's shoes for basically no money. So Nike can make billions, Republicans could buy them, and Jordan could gamble. Peace. Actually, you know, they had me in the first half. I like where it ended.
I mean, Democrats gamble too. Let's be honest. Let's get that straight.
That's our T-shirt. Hey, yeah. You just came up with the new T, Peter. Democrats gamble too. I love gambling.
Michael Jordan with a cigar in his mouth saying Democrats gamble too. Love it.
Clean.
That's kind of a dope T-shirt, to be honest. That sounds fucking tight.
All right, let's
do it. Once in a while, we got a banger. I would say, like, I want to just offer a bit of a mea culpa from Jamel and I, you know, reviewing the last dances recently. People, I feel like, in their 40s, who were like really aware of what was going on with Jordan back then, came for this episode super hard about him just basically trying to rewrite history. And I will say, in hindsight, it is a little bit odd that he stayed under contract and was paid by the Bulls owner for the entirety of his retirement.
Yeah,
what
we're not talking about is the fact that Jerry Reinsdorf had been losing to Mike in fucking poker for years. Come on, dude.
Wow. That is the missing link right there.
It comes from the
Holy
top.
Holy shit.
Off the top rope. Like a Stone Cold Steve Austin stunner.
Also, I want to apologize. My bad. I just want to apologize for not mentioning the Steve Kerr-Michael Jordan fight at all. We didn't mention it on the pod on Sunday. I didn't mention it with Eric on the fucking Twitch. This is the only thing I talked about. I talked about Tim Grover crying. And I didn't mention once that Michael Jordan copped to socking Steve Kerr in the face.
All right, maybe we can get into that on a different pod, on the Patreon pod, because I actually have a lot of thoughts on that. I just want to point out, I love that Michael Jordan got a sneak diss in by saying he had to ask somebody for Steve Kerr's phone number. He didn't have to add that detail. Wow. But he was like putting himself so far above Steve Kerr that he was like, I felt bad for beating up the littlest guy in the team. So I went to the team and asked for his phone number, because why would I ever fucking need his phone number?
Well, this doc has turned out just to be like a Mack truck that he's lining up anyone he's ever known and just running over them.
Well, all right, let's keep going. We got one more review, guys.
Okay,
we got one more review.
Okay, fine.
This one's very short and sweet. Jamel, you're going to like it. Of course you will. Great pod, 5 stars by Carrie887. Jamel's album, I Think It's Good, is excellent.
Wow.
That's the whole review. The whole review of our podcast is a review of your stand-up album.
All right, last thing about the comments here, and then we got to move on. Benner, as a co-manager of Jamel with me,
oh yeah,
you should be hyped up.
I forgot about that.
Every time someone is hyping up Jamel, that is 5% of nothing going in your pocket, dude.
Peter, you're acting like a real fucking mark right now. Look, you know how we're getting these reviews? I'm acting like I'm insecure about it, and these people are trying to insult me.
He's saying he's a big game hunter. He's giving us a little bit of that good feeling juice.
Because sometimes you are very much hurt by it, for real.
They're licking that it is up.
It was, I mean, when someone said that I have gigantism voice.
Yeah, that did. You was in the chat. You was in the chat.
That hurt me a little bit. But
I also love that you immediately assumed it was me, too.
I'm not convinced it wasn't you. Guys, let's keep going. If you want to have your review read on the podcast, go to Apple Podcasts. Give us 5 stars, and we'll read whatever you write. Check us out on Twitter, on Instagram, Airbuds Pod, all that stuff. And go to patreon.com/airbudspod if you want exclusive content for just a little bit of money. Now let's move on, guys. We've got a special guest. We've got
shit.
Who I have heard is the G League King.
Whoa.
All right. He's the lead writer. He just put the crown on.
Yes. Not according to him. He did not call himself the G League King.
No, he's not. He was granted. He did not ask for this title. It was bestowed upon him. He is the lead writer for SB Nation's Ridiculous Upside, covering the G League. Please welcome Dakota Schmidt. Hello, Dakota.
Hello, guys. How are you doing tonight?
We're doing great. How are you doing?
Excellent, man.
I am doing good, especially now that Kai Soto has officially signed with the G League. It's become official since this podcast started.
Yeah,
it feels like you were the king of a small country or region, and slowly but surely in the past 8 months to a year, you have started to kind of
Animal Cross. He's Animal Crossing.
Yeah, there's been some animal crossing for the G League.
The last month has been crazy for me since Jalen Green started this whole thing when he announced that he was going to the G League. Because before then, my focus was basically on overlooked guys named like Dusty Hannahs and Zion Cheatham. And now, the best of the best of high school players are going to the G League. And it's wild to me as somebody that's been writing and watching and covering this league since 2012.
Oh, shit. So you're a D League guy.
Yes.
You're a Delaware 78ers guy.
87ers. I'm a Idaho Stampede. I'm a Bakersfield Jammer.
Oh,
RIP.
Wow.
Damn. God rest his soul.
I would kill to get, speaking of the 87ers, you guys remember when they wore the SpongeBob unis?
Yes.
I would kill to get those. Yeah.
Is that the hardest G League jersey ever?
No, the Grateful Dead Mad Ants jersey for sure.
Or the Memphis Hustle every year. They wear a dog jersey that has pictures of various dogs.
Whoa.
What?
Yes.
Whoa. You know, I have seen this actually.
Hold on. Who was supposed to? I saw what it looked like a prototype. Did anybody wear the Pink Ranger jerseys?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. I think it was, it might have been Delaware, and it might have been when Nate Robinson was there.
Nate Robinson was running around in a Pink Ranger basketball jersey?
And that was the year where he also ran under the legs of Eddie Tavares during the middle of a live game.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Recently?
I think also the Memphis Hustle just overall might be my favorite G League name.
I mean, the four-way Mad Ants are also a great name. You also have the Mad
Ants. Yeah, they're upset ants. You can't really beat upset ants.
I will. I occasionally will just randomly tweet them from the Airbuds account being like, hey, let me get one of those Grateful Dead jerseys.
Like, and they never come up? Okay.
Never once. They have not even liked one. I'm like, I'm sure this is more attention than you get from like a single person over a sustained year.
I bet they actually get that tweet like 80 times a day.
Yeah, maybe.
I put the number on 80, but I think
or also
now,
like the Wisconsin Herd, I'm basically talking about their logo, which is the Bucks logo, but with two extra deer added onto it.
Which is hard. A nice little flop of deer.
It is, yeah.
I think the best adaptation of a logo, because, you know, like a lot of teams will basically copy the NBA franchise, the Iowa Wolves logo is actually better than the Timberwolves logo.
Yeah, I agree. It's a cuter version of the Timberwolves one.
Yeah, it could be a punk band or a militia.
Yep, certainly could. Let's talk about the G League for a minute, because you were getting into it about the kind of the importance it's taken over the past like year, but really over the past month in particular with like Isaiah Todd and like Jalen Green committing to going to the G League. I mean, what we assume will be the developmental team, right? Can you tell us what the developmental team is for our listeners?
Well, the details that we don't know, they're kind of limited because we don't officially have a head coach. They haven't officially announced a head coach or where the team is actually going to be located in. They're going to be located in South California or LA, but the facility that they're going to be practicing in and training in hasn't been announced. But currently, we know that the G League team is going to be based, like I mentioned before, in LA, in South California, alongside the high school players like Jalen Green and Isaiah Todd. I kind of accidentally mix those two players together. But they're going to be playing alongside veteran players that might become like former G Leaguers, former NBA players that are on the back nine of their career, so to say. And they won't be in the actual like 50 game G League season that the 28 other teams are in. They're gonna have their own little schedule of exhibition games. They're gonna be against other G League teams. They're gonna be like around 10 to 15 games there. Oh, right. And some other games against like NBA Academy teams or various international clubs. Huh. So yeah, those are all the details that we know so far. Oh,
so they'll be like the Washington Generals of the G League.
Yeah.
It's kind of purely exhibition. Guess,
Or the Harlem Globetrotters. You don't want to feel like any team to the Generals because, you know, they always lose.
I don't know. I think I think they might be the Generals though. I think they're going to lose. Like, I think, look, they might have like the best potential, but like they're having a bunch of high school kids playing like 25-year-old like gamers.
You don't want to send no children to Belarus, man. Period.
I didn't realize how this was really truly the NBA just putting on like basketball college. It's very like, are they going to be in a dorm too?
It's basketball, like, X-Men, because it is basketball college.
Yes, it is.
They about to put them fools to work, bro. Adam Silver is trying to see about a foreign franchise.
And that's one other thing to add here is that the players will have an opportunity to get actual education through the league's partnership with Arizona State, so they can take like online classes.
Mm-hmm. No, I heard it was Education Connection. I heard they're gonna
honestly whatever
they have
whatever
an opportunity
they
for
take
a second rate education through Arizona State.
I was about to say it's exciting that they'll be able to do some Azusa Pacific online. That's really I will say though, whatever classes Adam Silver probably gives them is going to be way more relevant than whatever Zion and Kyrie did for a semester at Duke.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
They like, ran
balance a checkbook.
That's what they did. All they do is make them kids run, dude. College ball, when you're like a big-time freshman, apparently it's just suicides and occasionally walking around campus.
Even in like intro to philosophy, like they make you like do the shuttle run.
Yeah, you're knocking over erasers.
While learning about like Plato.
Yeah. Now tell us, you mentioned Kai Soto, who you said it became official since we started recording. Tell us about Kai Soto, because he's very intriguing.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Kai Soto is this 7'3", 210-pound center from the Philippines that played high school ball this past year in a place called the Skill Factory.
Nice. The Skill Factory? Oh, wow.
The Skill Factory or the Skull Factory?
No, the Skill Factory.
The Skull Factory. Yeah, he played in like an evil villain's like lair.
It's like, okay, might as well. Indiana Jones
too. The Skill Factory is definitely the Skull Factory on the low. They have the U covered up with like a little piece of tape. So.
All right. At the Skill Factory, I watched like 5 or 6 games before I recently wrote a piece on breaking down what kind of player he is. And he's this super skinny center that can really pass, can shoot a bit, can like work in low post. But the thing is, like, his stamina is pretty rough, and also like his balance is also rough. Like I saw like a play or two where like he was working low post, somebody backed into him, and like he just stayed in like a position with his knees bended for like 4 or 5 seconds while the other team is running on the court.
Are you saying that, pardon my dogs, they're huge Kyle Soto fans. Are you saying that he is 7'1" or 7'3"?
7'3", 7'2".
Okay, so he's 7'2", 210 pounds, and has some trouble with balance. I feel like when he sneezes himself, he would probably fall over. That is so tall and fucking skinny.
He's a
Because
he's a creative player from NBA Street, dude. He went to a school called the Skill Factory. He's not a real person.
It does sound like the storyline from NBA 2K20 the My Career mode.
But here's the thing. His actual basketball
skill. Ben Schwartz is welcoming you to the Skill Factory.
Hey, Skull Factory!
You know what's up.
Sorry to go on.
But his actual basketball skill really impressed me. He's a fantastic passer for somebody of his position and somebody of his age. Like, when he's working on the perimeter, some of the passes that he's able to make are, you know, fantastic. And he's really smooth as a catch-and-shoot shooter. Mm-hmm. which, you know, surprised me again, given him being a 7'2", 200-pound center that's, you know, 18 years old.
Yeah, I was watching some clips because I saw some chatter about him this week, and there was this one play where, like, he was running a pick and roll where he was the ball handler, and then he did, like, a kind of, like, behind-the-back pass to a cutter that, like, I was like, what? Wait, whoa, what the fuck? How did that guy pull that pass off? And then, yeah, I think, like, he seems like a very intriguing shooter, like a Porzingis type player. I don't know. Mm-hmm. He looks good in like the 5 or 6 clips I saw.
Just got to learn how to use his ass. Foreign players don't really know how to use their butt at first.
Bro, he doesn't have a butt yet. He's got to get a butt.
He grows. Yeah. You grow a butt, and then
he
you're
barely
in the
has a body.
He's in there. He'll get there.
He's like. He's very reminiscent, even in look, to like teenage Porzingis when we were first seeing clips of him. Like, he's so rail thin.
I need him to get his shit off, because if there's a Filipino star, we're definitely going to be able to get real G League jerseys. You can't get your hands on no real jerseys, but if a Filipino kid is cracking, we're getting full suits.
But there's the Galleria. Alongside Soto, Jalen Green, the top player of this team. He's also half Filipino.
What?
Yeah.
It's finally their time, dude. They've wanted this so fucking bad. They're
ready to
go.
And like one of the biggest Jalen Green highlights is him dunking on Kai. But now they're going to be teammates.
Whoa.
So it's confirmed Kai's going to be on this team too. Wow.
Yes.
That's crazy. Oh my goodness.
And this is the last time we ever saw CJ Toledano.
He's
loaded
about to,
into the sun.
Yo, he's about to go. He's going to be on that roster.
You think, 100%.
You think CJ's not going to find his way on that roster?
You don't think CJ's going to dress up like the exact team and just buy the seat right next to the bench?
Yo, it's already done. He already signed the papers.
For context for our listeners, if you don't remember CJ, our past guest, friend of the pod, Filipino basketball fan who is literally going to die when both these guys hit the league.
But like, they're also like, I have no idea about the details of their schedule alongside they're gonna, besides the fact that they're gonna be playing against like G League guys and G League teams and like some international squads. I don't know like where they're gonna be traveling, or you know, if they're gonna be traveling, given the fact that we're living in the global pandemic. But it would be absolutely nuts if that team traveled to the Philippines for like some exhibition games.
Right. I don't know much about like what the fan base is like in the Philippines.
It's crazy.
But, it's huge. Yeah. And they always have a few American guys on the national team. A couple former Wizards. The Wizards pipeline to Filipino national basketball is insane. It's Andre Blatch, and we got what's his name? McCullough.
Not Todd McCullough.
No, Chris McCullough. Yes, Chris McCullough just went out there.
It'd be incredible, like, Todd McCullough at like 55 years old. It was like the starting center for the Filipino national basketball team.
But here's the thing: like a few years ago, there's this Filipino player named forgot his first name, but his last name is Urbina. He was like on the practice squad for the Texas Legends, and the CNN Philippines channel invited me on their show to talk about Urbina.
Exactly. They
a random
updates.
Yeah. Just of him like becoming like a small part of a G League team was enough to invite a random guy from Wisconsin on to CNN Philippines. Kai Soto is like a 4-star prospect and like a skilled 7-2 center.
They're about to fly you out, dude. You about to be in the Philippines like in 3 months, bro.
Yeah, bro. There's some rich dude's gonna fly you out. Like
hell yes.
Like you're an Instagram thought. Yeah.
Yo, get that money. More basketball writers should have OnlyFans. Next thing, I will say, what are you?
By the way, speaking of, there is a tweet that Benner put out that said, we will start an OnlyFans if that tweet gets 1,000 likes. So
please
anyone
don't.
Listening to this,
it hasn't,
to
already
it hasn't Skills exactly push. Taken off, guys.
It hasn't, it's not a big deal at the moment.
I don't think anyone's dying to see what we have to show.
Including Jamel's likes, we're at about 15.
Because I have 15 accounts. I, man... I do, what do you, I mean, So if the NBA is on hold, obviously the G League season been officially canceled? Or is everything NBA affiliated just on hold?
It's all on. Drew League got canceled. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, it's like it's been on pause for 2 months. But in my eyes, the G League season is basically done because there were like 6 games left in regular season, and you know it's a G League. It's actually a money loser for the NBA, and their teams. But yeah, the D League season in itself is suspended, but in my eyes, it's done. And just
right, and there's so right much now, to I look forward to in the new season.
A finalist for D League Rookie of the Year, which is something I only do when the season is done.
Crazy, man.
Got it.
What's a game like? I'm ashamed to say I've watched a ton of games, just like on different streams and stuff. But I've never been to a G League game live. Are the snacks worse? Like, what are they doing?
I kind of been quarantined myself for a long time in my parents' cabin in the middle of the woods in northern Wisconsin.
Oh shit.
So I haven't actually been to a G League game, and the first actual like NBA related thing I went to was Summer League last year, which was nuts. Like,
oh dude, you were there?
Yeah, I was there.
You are.
And I got my tickets because Ridiculous Upside is associated with SB Nation. I got my tickets at like the UNLV campus from SB Nation, and on my way to Thomas and Mack, I walked past Taco Fall.
You seen him?
Yes, I did. I seen him. And you know, when I was in the actual Thomas and Mack, in like the first few minutes, I walked past like Zach Lowe and Amina Hassan, guys I you know watch a lot on like ESPN. And that was just crazy to me. Like, people I see on TV, I'm seeing with my own eyes in real life.
Bro, I was there. I was centimeters away from LeBron, bro. I was there. I was on the walkway when they all avoided talking to Dwight Howard. I saw it. It was crazy. Did you see when I lost that dance contest to that kid? They rigged a dance contest on me out there.
Yeah, Jamel wormed his way onto the court for a dance contest in the middle.
Yeah, and I was trying to tell LeBron that I loved him, but the MC took the mic away from me.
Yeah, I've been to some South Bay Lakers and formerly LA Defenders games. I've been to a bunch. I will say the snacks are worse, for sure, but... I sat courtside, and I'll never do that in an NBA game. So
that's pretty sick. I mean, that's tight.
You might never. No one might ever sit courtside again.
That's true.
Oh man, I've been trying to get Capital City Go-Go tickets for years.
They've only been around for 2 years.
I guess 2 years.
That's
2 years.
Years.
All 2 years.
Oh man, you're the king of the Airbuds pod now, dude.
Yeah, dude.
I'm sorry.
No,
take a bow, man.
No, that was dude, that was big time. You're a scorer. You're a proven first game, proven scorer. He can cut. He's showing flashes. Why the fuck can't I get a real jersey? All right, I'm gonna stop saying that. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
All right. What is coaching a G League team like? Do coaches matter on the G League level? Do you
I guess the coaches do matter in terms of like player involvement and making sure like the players on the team are playing like the same kind of system that the NBA guys do, which is when we now see it in the G League because all, you know, G League teams are affiliated with NBA squads. And the coaching talent in the G League is really solid. And you can see that in the NBA, like Taylor Jenkins, the Grizzlies coach, he was in the G League, Nick Nurse. The Raptors coach who pushed him to the title, he was the G League coach, Jerry Stackhouse, who's now at Vanderbilt. He was in the G League just a few years ago. So, yeah, the coaching talent in the G League is solid. And, you know, I've talked to a good amount of G League guys, G League current and former G League players. And yeah, the coaching definitely matters.
Okay, who's the worst one? Tell me which one you hate.
Let me just say that the Phoenix Suns G League affiliate has never really been good.
Sure, sure. That makes a ton of sense. Are they also playing 4 point guards at once?
No, but the thing is, like, for most of the season, NBA teams can have like two-way players, or which are basically players that are like at their foot in the door of G League teams, and they're kind of on the NBA roster, but they spend most of the year in G League because of restrictions. Like they can only spend up to 45 days with an NBA team. So the so teams can have two-way players. But the Phoenix Suns, for some weird reason, they only had one two-way player for most of the year. I don't know why they were holding it, because he can just easily, you know, wave a two-way guy and sign somebody else. So that was weird. And
I imagine they don't care. They don't seem to care much about their NBA franchise. Why would they care about the G League franchise?
We've seen like the Phoenix Suns draft like Dragan Bender and Marcus Chris, who are these, you know, raw bigs, and they send them to the Wolves immediately, and you know, we now know how the stock of those players have gone. But like they don't really send that many players to the G League.
They'd rather get rid of them than develop them.
Yeah.
I have a question. When do you think was it like? When do you think the NBA? You've been covering it for 8 years. What year was it that the NBA really started to take it seriously? And what is kind of the biggest difference between the D League that you started covering and the G League we're in now?
Probably when they introduced like 2A deals and Exhibit 10 deals, which, you know, improved the talent level in the G League and put more stake in the G League team. Because when I started to write about the league back in 2012, there were like 16 teams. And on some occasions, you had like one NBA team, one D League team, and there were like four NBA teams affiliated with that. So like there would be like the D League team really didn't have much reason to try to develop the D League guys that were there, aside from, you know, them being better players and giving them more minutes. But
so what happened if like one player was a standout? Was there ever a case where like four teams like were duking it out over like signing this guy to their bench?
Not really, but one case I remember is Bruno Caboclo in his rookie year with Toronto. That was the year before the 905 came around. So Bruno was in Fort Wayne with the Mad Ants. And despite him being an NBA assignee, he barely got any minutes with Fort Wayne, which, you know, and he was there for like a week of him not getting any minutes. And, you know, the Raptors didn't bring him back.
Well, they still collect his like $1.3 million rookie scale contract.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him.
That's it. That's all it takes, baby.
Hey, do your thing, bro. God, I wish I could just make one jumper and then just hang out.
But like now we're seeing a lot more like G League success stories of guys that were on 2A deals or regular G League contracts. Like we can just see that with the Miami Heat in Duncan Robinson or Kendrick Nunn, who was actually on the Warriors G League team. The Lakers, Alex Caruso, the Timberwolves, a guy that I really like that really started shining towards the end of the year in Jordan McLaughlin. And you know,
half the Warriors, this is more like roster,
the entire
like,
Warriors roster.
Yeah. Right now. And you know, some of the players, you know, had some players on the Warriors that were in G League, had some good games with Golden State.
Do y'all think they can really kill college ball? Are they trying to kill? Are they trying to kill college ball? Do you think they can?
I feel like we're at a point where March Madness is such a huge part of America, and as we know it, where you really can't kill college basketball, and every single year you get college hoops is going to have like a John Morant or Steph Curry or an Adam Morrison type of player that become college basketball stars, that it's going to be nearly impossible to kill it, but they may, the G League may damp, may really hurt it, you know, if like four or five of the best high school players go there, or especially that the G League and Adam Silver is currently planning, like having a separate G League division of high school players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say you have, I guess, four teams, which is the least amount to have a division. If you have five G League players on each of those four teams, those are 20 players, 20 of the best high school players that aren't going to college basketball. And that is, in my eyes, is really going to hurt it. But I will don't say, think you can kill college hoops.
Yeah, I will say, though, at least for me personally, this was the year I knew fucking nobody who was going to be like that star in the tournament, even though it didn't happen. It seemed like we're kind of reaching an apex between like the, you know, the Sean Millers and the Zion Williamsons and like the, you know, the money that's happening kind of under the table and the stars are dwindling. It just seems like the NBA is going to be seizing aggressively, especially with probably college basketball not happening next year, on an opportunity to like dampen is, I feel like, a friendly word of like slowly stick a knife in, like, and then like walk away, kind of like Assassin's Creed style. Like, you don't know who did it.
Yeah, but you know what, man? John Wick has been stabbed 100 times and he kept walking. College basketball is John Wick.
He's John Wick.
Yeah, sure, that makes sense. No, I think as long as there's like rich white people who like find their identity and where they went to college, like college hoops will still find a way. Like, it's driven by like old rich white dudes who are like giving these high school kids cars. And like, if a guy can't get on with a G League team, then he'll just get a car and go to Duke, you know?
That's true.
Honestly, sounds like a good deal.
Yeah.
I'd love a car. Kia Sedona.
Guys, we got to wrap it up, but is there anything else we want to talk about real quick before we do so?
Who are you most excited to watch in the G League now and like maybe coming up? Like, whose highlights should we be checking for in this downtime? Things to look forward to in the future as well.
So are we talking about up-and-coming prospects that played in the G League this year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. This is fun. Okay, Lamar Peters from the Westchester Knicks. His YouTube videos are crazy because he has unlimited range and he can make really good passes. Devonta Kaycock of the he's a two-way player with the LA Lakers. He played in South Bay. Dude is a monster on the boards and is really athletic. Dusty Hannes of the Memphis Hustle.
One of the greatest names.
Yes, greatest names. He also has range for days and he developed more of an on-ball game where he can, you know, go to the cup and put in floaters.
And he's also the sequel to the Banger Sisters.
And he looks like a star on a CW show.
He looks like he's in the new High School Musical reboot for sure.
Are you looking at a picture of him right now?
I'm looking at a picture of him probably when he was just coming out of high school. He looks like a little tiny baby. He looks like a mini Adam Devine.
Yeah, and he kind of still looks that way even though he's like 27.
And he looks more like TJ McConnell now.
Mm-hmm. All right. More players I'm trying to think of. Tremont Waters, another great name that played with the Memphis. Not the Memphis Hustle, the main Red Claws. Really solid point guard. Also, Kenny Wooten, who's a fan favorite of Knicks Twitter, because he's a guy with long arms that can jump off the gym and can block out all the shots.
Perfect in the NBA street, New York's favorite.
Yes. Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with.
Whoop.
Yep. And with that, guys, Dakota, is there anything you want to plug? Give us where we can find you. Where can we find Ridiculous Upside online?
Ridiculous Upside, you can find it on ridiculousupside.com, on Twitter at RIDIC Ridic. Upside, you can follow me. I'm at Dakota _ Schmidt. DAKOTA _ SCHMIDT. It's the best way to spell Schmidt, not two T's or one T and no D's or none of that nonsense.
Yeah, fuck you, Schmidt. Yeah, follow the G League King. Peter, Jamal, anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
I just want to plug that I love you guys.
Hey, love you guys. And I'm almost, proud to be both of your managers, yeah, or at least co-managers.
I'm almost done with Law & Order. I don't like Cops anymore, but I do like courtroom dramas. I'm watching For Life now. I got four episodes of For Life left, and I'm very excited about it.
Oh, wait, is For Life the, like, melodramatic, like, Fox show?
It's ABC.
Because I would see it on the NBA on ABC. Yeah.
Yeah, it's ABC, and it's produced by Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. And he also is playing the bad guy.
Oh!
I did not know that.
You gotta love him. Cast himself, too, did he now?
You have to.
Wow. But you really don't, but good for him.
Those are the Jordan rules.
All right, so yeah, check out 50 Cent's television show. I'm sure he needs our help.
You might know.
Guys, let's get out of here. Love you. Bye.
Peace.
Peace.